and it's important that you worship. God inhabits the praises of his people, but you were created to worship. That's why it's praise and worship, not, hey, let's go to church. When you say, let's go to church, it's like saying, hey, let's go to the dentist, to most people. You know, I mean, oh, man, I got to sit there. But when they come and they feel the Spirit of God before, you know, before I ever even stand, because he's inhabiting their praises, it makes them want to go to that place that maybe they've never been before. You know, but it just makes it so easy. I'm going to just recognize our praise team for that. And they are praisers and they are worshipers. They're not musicians. And I want to make that very clear. Today we're going to be in 1 Samuel, the first verse. Yes, I said that. 1 Samuel, the first verse. This is the story of Hannah. The first part of the story of Hannah. Hannah was married and she couldn't have children. So her husband just got him another wife. Why? I don't know. But he did. Her name was Peninnah, or Peninnah. She's the inventor of the panini sandwich. And yeah, and she had a relative that invented tofu. Yeah. She did. Yes. Well, I'll prove it to you. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zohim and from the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerem, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, who invented tofu.
There you go. See?
The son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah, who invented the panini. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this is Hannah's life. This is. You're going to find out as we read this, and I'm going to go back through it. Let's just read real quick. This man went up from the city early to his city early to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the sons of Eli, Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord, listen to me, the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Then her husband said to her, Hannah, I'm going to stop on this verse because there's just something I got to say. I can't go on without saying it. Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Never underestimate the ignorance of a man with a huge ego. Ever. Am I not better to you than you have in 10 sons? Have you looked at this? Do you know, hey, you don't need to have sons. You don't need to have children. I had somebody for that. I love you. Never underestimate the ignorance of a man with a huge ego. Ever, 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 ever. Is that what that's saying right there? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Nothing can take the place of a child, much less 10. You know, he had two wives, but he was better than 10 children. He's an idiot. Your first sign was that he had two wives. This is the second. One of them sounds like my grandma. Man, she's mean. All right. That's true. I'm just telling you. Take your pick. One side or the other. They were both meaner than snot. I'm telling you. Am I not better? Hey, guys. I'm going to get on the lady side of this thing later, but it's not an ignorance thing like you guys. Verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, If you will indeed look on my affliction. She called it an affliction. I'm not calling it an affliction. But that's what it's going to be referred to in the rest of this, because that's what she said. Of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life. No razor shall come upon his head. And when it happened, as she was praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. When you get close to God, people don't recognize what's spiritual sometimes. And they come up with all kinds of things. I'm sitting there by myself sometimes in the airport. You know, what are you going to do in an airport when you got a 4-hour layover? Are you going to play solitaire? And, you know, are you going to pray in tongues? Some of them in the airport praying in tongues. They're not praying out loud. And I'm, you know, people think, well, he must be drunk. That's what this guy thought. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am not. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Remember that. We're coming back to that. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So that the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord, came, turned to the house, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked from the Lord. So here we go. Gonna break this down real quick, real easy. Y'all love Hannah. Hannah's one of my favorite Old Testament barren women. I'm just because she didn't stay that way. It says in the fifth verse that the Lord had closed her womb. But it said that Elkanah loved her. And he would give her double portions. He would dish out double portions for her, twice as much as he would give the other woman, the other wife. Okay? He'd give her twice as much. Why did he marry this other woman? Because Hannah couldn't have children, and that's what women did back then. They didn't go to med school. They had kids. And if you didn't have kids, something was wrong with you. You were not in the social ladder. You were at the lowest rung on the social ladder if you were barren. And it's still that way in a lot of cultures that I've been in. And in a lot of nations, that's what people come forward to get prayed for the most, is that they can have children. They feel less of a woman if they can't have children. They feel like they're an incomplete person. They have low self-esteem. And this was Hannah, and she lived this life all the time. That's the way that she lived her life, until she had enough. In the sixth verse, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed the room. It even says that her sister wife, I guess you'd call it, you know, whatever, was called her rival in the Bible. Her rival. And provoked her. Hey, have you seen my kids anywhere? Of course you have. They're everywhere. I have a baby making machine. I got kids over here. I got kids over here. How many you got? How many you got? You're less than a woman. You don't have to look at all the kids I've got. You're nothing. You have nothing. When you leave this earth, you're going to leave with nothing. I have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. You'll have nothing. You're not a complete person. That's the way it was in their day. And it says her rival provoked her. It was relentless. Penina, the inventor of the panini, was a mean, mean woman. She was a panini meanie. Well, whatever. And then we go into verse 8 where we went through that. I won't put you boys through that again. Verse 16. Do not consider your maidservant to be a wicked woman. This is when she was praying, and the priest said, hey, are you drunk, woman? What's wrong with you? She said, no, I'm not drunk. I hadn't been drinking anything. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my grief I have spoken until when? Now. Something happened. It doesn't say it happened, but it said until now. Something happened. And then in the next verse, what happens? The priest declared what she'd already prayed. And it happened a few verses later, okay? We're going to come back to that. I wrote down a few things in my deer stand. I've got messages for the next 6 years. Because I've really hunted that deer hard. And I killed him. Dropped like a max. Reached room temperature at 4:05 Central Standard Time, p.m., the day after Thanksgiving. I let him have a holiday. Last one. Now Izzy's chasing a deer, so. Yeah, she expects him to reach room temperature about 4:15 today, I think. We'll see. Just a few things about Hannah. She was so persistent that she had a prognosis from all the doctors that she was always going to be this way. This did not change. If you were barren, you were barren for life. That's what it was meant. She was terminally not pregnant, which was a just a terrible thing at this place and time. It's not as bad now as it was before because we got, you know, and can you imagine what Hannah would think in today? Why can't I get pregnant? There's people that don't even want kids that are having them. They're dropping them off at firehouses because they don't even want anything to do with them and blah, 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 blah. I would love a child. Do you think about what she would? But she was terminal. It would be the equivalent of a doctor saying, you've got a terminal disease. You don't have long. There's no way out of this. There's no way you can get from here to well. There's no way you can get from here to bearing children. But she did a few things that changed her prognosis. One was this. She never stopped going to church. What's that got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it. When you're tired, when you don't feel like going to church, when everything else, you go to church. Why? It was because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You go to church. There's a reason that we go to church. I'm not going to tell you exactly. There's a lot of reasons we go to church, but there's one reason that it's just far and above every other thing. Because no matter what you're going through, this is the one thing that the church has that no organization in the world has. All right? You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The one thing the church has is no matter what you're going through, you can always find somebody that will stand in agreement with you. You're not going to find somebody that's going to stand in agreement with you over a terminal sickness at the bar. Man, sound like you're going to die. Man, I feel for you. Let me buy you a drink. Man, will pot help you? You know, I mean, just, you know, you're not going to find anybody. You're not going to find anybody at the hospital that's going to stand in agreement with you about God and God healing this thing. God closed her womb. She was persistent enough and she kept going to church long enough to find a priest that would agree with her in prayer, and it happened. You see, I went back and said, until now, she'd made up her mind. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. The next verse, go in peace. The God of Israel grants your request. She found somebody that agreed with her. You may not like everybody here. You may not like me. But if you've got an issue, I promise you, you want me standing in agreement with you. I've got a prayer chain that goes around the world 45 times. I've got people on 80 or 90 different continents. When I put the word out, they're on their knees praying about something. And I'm all of those people, if they call me, I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it. I'm going to go to church because those people get me no matter how crazy I may seem. Somebody there gets me. And they're going to stand in agreement with me. You're not going to find somebody in the Republican Party to stand with you on God healing your body. You're not going to find anybody in the... You know, what I'm trying to say is the government's not going to stand behind you. They're not even going to help you pay for it. They're not going to... You know, even if they did, it wouldn't matter. You're still going to die. It's terminal. You know, you need somebody to stand in agreement with you. Where you go find them? That's one of the reasons God created the church. To forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because where two or more agree touching anything. If one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. There is a law of agreement. And you can't get it anywhere other than the church. That supernatural arithmetic that God does in these things can't be found anywhere other than His church. This woman went to church every day. I think I've made my point, right? Can I move on? No, I'm not. Well, that's pretty smart, Paul. I like that. Hannah's world. Let's just look at Hannah's world. It was very, very small. And she was the smallest part of her household. Correct? But when she kept going to church, she found somebody to get in agreement with her. Her world got big. She became the mother of one of the greatest prophets that have ever lived. Because of her prayer, Samuel entered the earth. Samuel, who was David's biggest advisor. King David, I'm talking about. Because this woman kept going to church. She found somebody to stand in agreement with. That prophet stood with that king for years and years and years. The power of agreement. Amen? Can I move on? Say amen. Okay, I mean, that means... All right, Hannah... Hannah was persistent. She never, ever, ever gave up. She never quit. Let me see something here. Go to Luke 4. I'm sorry, Luke 18. I just threw this on you guys. I don't know how to get there. But go to Luke 18. It's first verse. I don't have it in here. This is about Jesus. Then he spoke a parable to them. This is Jesus talking. That men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. In other words, when you pray, pray like... All right, second verse. Saying, there was a certain city in it, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. Jesus, that's good. Jesus is saying this. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like the persistent widow. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You don't pray once and then it's over. You know, I mean, I was in a denomination for a while and I had some of the stupidest things, some of the stupidest doctrinal crap I've ever heard in my life, and it was one of them, you know, God answers all prayers, but sometimes it's no. Where's that? The first or second book of ignorance? You know, if he answers every prayer and you pray and it doesn't answer, it means he says no. No, that's not what it means. God answers prayer. No is not the answer. If you prayed, you just prayed out, you need to keep praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You got to keep going and keep going. Bug God to death. He told the disciples, pray like that woman. You know, the judge comes out, and it's somebody's banging on his door at 6 a.m. Who is it? It's that woman. You've got to do something. Oh, my God. Slams the door in the face. The next day, he sees her at the market. You got to do something. Everywhere he went, every single day, he had to run into that persistent widow. And she said, you got to do something. Fine, if it'll get you out of my life, I'll do something. That's the way Jesus said we're supposed to pray. That's the way Hannah prayed. Hannah went to church. Every time the door was open, she was at church. What they're talking about this time is where they had to go back to their home, her husband's home, to church. But she went to church all the time where they lived. This just happened to happen at Shiloh. She was persistent. She never gave up. My goodness, I just gets me angry when I hear people say, well, just sometimes God says no. I just say, show me that. Well, it stands to reason. No, it does not stand to reason. You're adding something to the Bible that's not in the Bible. That's dangerous ground. Show me where it says that. Or quit saying it around me. Because every time you say it, I'm going to say, you're a liar. Bible doesn't say that. Don't you tell lies about my God. Don't you tell lies about my Bible. Where does it say it? Find it. Show it to me. I'll preach it every Sunday if you can find it and show it to me. Well, in seminary, when they come out with that, that means it's not in the Bible. Okay. Have I made my point? Pray without ceasing. Hannah was persistent. She went to church and she was persistent with her prayers. Don't get out of here yet. Hannah prophesied with a song. If you will look at the next chapter, the chapter 2, 1 Samuel, the second chapter, it is a psalm that Hannah wrote. And in one of the verses it said, even the barren bore 7. See, Samuel was not an only child. He was a firstborn son. If you look in the Bible, you're going to find that Samuel had 6 brothers. All. Really? Yeah, because when God opened that womb, He didn't tell it to close back. When God fixes something, it's fixed. It don't break again. If it breaks again, it's something you've done or something that the devil's done. When God fixes it, it's fixed. It's not coming back. It's not going to be inoperable anymore. My gosh, Ginger and I know that. Ginger couldn't get pregnant. She went. This lady wanted to pray for her. We're over at Denny Duron's church. What was Miss Winder's name? Dolores. Yeah. Dolores Winder prayed for Ginger, and man, she got pregnant that fast. And we forgot to tell her to pray for God to close that thing because, you know, I'm 57 years old and I've got a 12-year-old. You know? It's a joke. I know she's in here. I would have loved to have had her earlier. A lot earlier. You know, in my 40s. Heard of being a 12? I'm talking about being a 12-year-old when I'm in my 40s. It'd been a lot more fun, but we get to have fun. We get deer hunt together, have a lot of fun. But anyway, when God fixes something, it's fixed. It's fixed. All right, here we go. I talked to you about stupid men. I'm not going to say anything stupid about women. But Hannah lived in a terrible relationship. She had a woman in there that was bearing children when she couldn't, and called her rival. And we go through all this and all of the mistreatment and everything. Every woman has another woman. There's always another woman. Am I smart enough? Am I pretty enough? Am I thin enough? Am I on and on and on and on? And women, don't get mad at me. women suffer with a spirit of comparison more so than men do. The most counseling that Ginger and I do would be in that area with people, because they don't realize that it comes from the fall. They don't realize that this is something that's come upon them, not because of something that they've done or some lack that's within them. But if you'll go to Genesis 3, hey, there you go. Genesis, Michael was pointing at her. He was blaming Allison. Genesis 3:16. What happened was God did his cursing on the serpent. He did his cursing on the man. Then on the woman, he said to the woman, he said this, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. And pain shall bring forth children. You know that there are people who believe God and believe God and believe God that they're not going to have pain during labor, because they've been redeemed from the curse of the law and they don't have any pain during labor. Here we go. Your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. Your desire shall be for your husband. Am I thin enough? I know he's looking. I saw him glance at that woman. What she got that I don't have? Is she thinner than me? Is she prettier than me? What is it about her? Because this is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. Boy, is it quiet. Guys are sitting next to their wives going. And women are looking at me going. Is this what we counsel the most with women on? Absolutely. Ask any pastor. Spirit of comparison. But what people don't realize is that you can be delivered from this, because Jesus died. He said, cursed is any man hanging on a tree. Jesus died so that you don't have to live that way anymore. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You are enough. You are the crowning point of creation. God made you the way that he made you for a reason. If you're abusing your body, it's a different story. But he made you the way you are for a reason. You are unique. You don't have to compare yourself to anybody else. If you are, you're saying, God, you just screwed up or something. I don't know what the deal is. But you didn't make me pretty enough. You didn't make me smart enough. The first thing you need to do is find out what your purpose in life is, and everything else pretty much fall into place after that. Tom, please do not quote me on any of this. I'm going to get crammed on Facebook if you do. My point is, I don't want. This is what Hannah lived through. But she prophesied herself through it. She prophesied herself out of that comparison, out of that I'm not good enough thing. She even went on I'm not going to ask y'all to do that. But even said that the one who had children, Peninnah, the one that had children, grew feeble. She prophesied herself out of her situation. She spoke encouragement. She sang and prophesied herself. That's why I said, yeah, see there? Even the barren has more seven, and she has more children and has become feeble. You know, she prophesied her way out of this thing, and then all this stuff happened. You see, what we've got to realize is no matter how bad the situation is, if you go to church and you find somebody that'll stand in agreement with you, somebody that'll really stand in agreement with you, and you be persistent, both of you be persistent in what you're praying for, and you start prophesying, and you start speaking what's going to happen, not what has happened, what's going to happen in your future, that's when it's going to happen. It's not going to happen without any of these three parts. Why do I go to church?
church. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. Maybe you're not going to church for you. Maybe you're going to church so because somebody needs to get in agreement with you and needs your help. Maybe there's somebody there that can help you, and there's maybe somebody there that you can help. But there's a reason to be here. And if you're not here, it's the person that may be looking for you going, gosh, man, I really need to talk to them. I'm not trying to say this to get more people in church. We got plenty. I'm trying to tell you the importance of you being here is not for me, it's for you. And it's for the purpose of people sitting with you. Don't show any hands, but I know so many people in this room that are standing in agreement together with somebody else for something to happen. I know that. And they didn't meet them anywhere other than church. Huh? Yeah, yeah. That live group, you can't. If they ever show up to your house, they don't leave. You got to kick them out. Those guys are something. But, you know, and that's what the world is looking for, and the church isn't doing it. They're looking for a place where they can hang out with their friends who have like, believe alike, and so they can hang out with them. It's not about being in this room. It's about being in this building. It's about connecting to people that are like-minded so that you can come together and find and be in agreement to help somebody. You know, that's what it's about. That's not all it's about, but that has a lot to do with it. Amen? So if you got a problem, hey, come to church, be persistent, and prophesy your future. Amen? Stand to your feet. We're done. Whew, I almost couldn't get out of that woman thing. That scared me. Yeah, okay. Spirit of comparison will keep you down. It will give you low self-esteem. It is terrible. Look at television. They don't put ugly people on TV. Right? Well, yeah, some of them. But commercials. You know, everybody can't be a great athlete. Everybody can't be a supermodel. Everybody can't be, but they can't be what you are. Find your purpose and that comparison will fall away. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you.